We are right here.
Hey, home theater nerds, welcome to the Bright Side Home Theater Podcast, a home theater podcast that's all about the experiences, the sights,
the sounds,
the scenes.
Like he's even here. So wow. In today's experience, Travis, what do you got for me, buddy? You texted me with like, I gotta do this. We gotta do it live. I'm like, okay.
Well, I thought it'd be a good one to maybe get some people to chime in as they're watching. If no one's going to tune in to watch me talk though, that's the problem. But we have been watching. Okay. Earlier this year, we decided let's rewatch The Hunger Games to get ready and watch the prequel that just dropped last month or the month before or whatever.
Yeah.
Cause we weren't sure that we'd each seen all of them. And by the end of it, we were just like, and it wasn't like we were watching them night, right in a row. But over the course of a few weeks, we watched The Hunger Games. And by the end of it, we were just kind of like, we weren't hungry anymore. We love all of the movies, but you know, putting them that close together was a lot of Hunger Games. And then we also did the same thing. Not that there was something new to watch, but we rewatched the Harry Potter because we'd never seen them in order or, you know, never seen all of them in order. So we spent 6 weeks going through all of the Harry Potters, and our Harry Potter interest had pottered out by the end of that whole watch. And it made me realize, like, I've never sat and thought before about, everyone loves a good franchise, you know, and there's like, you get excited, but how often does anyone watch all of the franchise again? Like, I don't even remember the last time I've seen, Return of the Jedi, because I can never get, like, I'll watch Star Wars, I'll watch Empire Strikes Back, and then I just, okay, I'll try again another time, and then I never do.
Yeah, they are hard to do. It's especially when they're longer, like what you're saying, like Hunger Games, is that three or four to start?
I think it's four and then the new one.
And then the new
one. Maybe it's five and then the new one. I'm not even sure.
Yeah. So Carl in the chat's already saying funny as his wife E wants to revisit all of the Hunger Games again.
I love those movies.
Yeah.
It is.
And I agree with you. And what's funny is, my daughter and I did all of the Hunger Games in the theater, midnight showings. It was a big, I believe she had already read the books.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she did. And then we saw this one, the newest one, when it came out on Kaleidoscape. We never saw it in the theater together.
Right.
But when it came on Kaleidoscape, I didn't even have time at the time it dropped. And I was like, okay, when we get a chance, let's do this. And she goes, okay, that'll give me a chance to read. Well, she's older. She's married. She's an adult now. She's got a job. By the time we sat down to watch it, she's like, I still haven't read it. I'm like, yeah, welcome to be an adult, kid.
Yeah.
But it is, I tried with the Hunger Games, like, to watch them again.
Mm-hmm.
That to me, it's just not a franchise that's for me. It's something like I have an attachment to it with my daughter. Right. And if it was like, let's get together every so often and redo it, I'd absolutely be all in. But I will tell you, I have done the Star Wars franchise in multiple times in different orders. Okay. So I did do the one through final, you know, the finale, mm-hmm. 1 through 9 in that order. Right. I did 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3. 7, 8, 9. That's the one I choose. I've done that a few times. And let me ask you this. What kind of time frame were you giving? Like, were you trying to do them a weekly, daily? Like, how quickly were you trying to do it?
We didn't even put a time frame on it. You know, I like Hunger Games, for example. When they were releasing the newest one, I think the content set for the original group went on sale at that point, and I bought it and had it sitting there. And I had Harry Potter on that. I bought the collection on sale too. And but like we didn't even put a time frame on it. It was just like when we'd come down to watch a movie, if there was nothing else that we were dying to watch,
right?
We'd watch one of those. And even just putting, you know, four or five movies in a 3 to 4 week window was really, really, by the end of it, we're like, oh, let's just watch this last one and be done with it.
Yeah. I guess is there a franchise you could do? Like you said, you haven't done Star Wars, but there isn't for you.
I've been looking back and trying to think of one that I have. Like even John Wick. You know, there's only what, four in that one right now?
Right now.
I'd probably skip two, maybe even three. Oh,
no. Yeah. Two's got the catacombs, which I just watched a couple of times. I did that scene.
Yeah.
From being at Mike and John's, and then John demonstrated at his house, and then I came home and had to do that again.
Yeah.
But you're right. And what's interesting to me is it's the only one I can really do it with is like, Star Wars. Or what about Lord of the Rings? That's a tradition.
I don't even
for me.
Think I've watched any of those straight through to start to finish at all.
Every Christmas I've done them. I took a couple of years off. It was like there was a hectic time with the kids and stuff, so I didn't get a chance. Not even now. I did do it this year, but when the kids had like sports and events during Christmas vacation, that's when they cram all that in. So I didn't really have that time, but when I get the time, I definitely do all three in that week between Christmas and New Year's. And it's the extended version too. Yeah. I really enjoy, but I remember going to see those in the theater. It was December when those all released year after, you know, every year.
Yeah.
So there's an attachment and they're really good movies.
Yeah.
They are really good movies. But we got like Steve Atten in the chat is saying, I forgot I was doing Mission Impossible, but stopped after four and never picked up from there last June.
And I just saw that comment and thought that's maybe the one that I can watch all of them because we did that when whatever the newest one is called when.
Yeah. Not Rogue Nation.
The newest one. Dead Reckoning.
Dead Reckoning.
When Dead Reckoning was coming out, we revisited all of the previous Mission Impossibles and didn't get sick of them. So maybe that's the one that I could do.
I did do that one as well. And it was way more enjoyable. 1, 2, 3. But I kind of agree with Steve that it kind of dropped. The movies don't drop off, but when you're trying to get them in, It's really hard because you're like, all right, now I got a time period because the new one's coming out. And here's the thing. There's really, I hate to say it, but when you do watch them that fast, you see the redundancies in stories and it's just like, okay, here's the new stunt. Now when the new one comes out, we're all excited for it, but to watch them all in a row like that is really like, you're kind of pushing the envelope there on like entertainment. Cause you wouldn't even know going into the next one. You're like, all right. It's like Mission Impossibles. You're like, I do. I'm like, which one was that again?
Yeah.
Which one did, what did they do in this one? Whereas there's the Star Wars Seymour franchise, Hoffman one. I know and everything. The, yes.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know their names or the order. I know them by the villain or by the stunt, you know, but I don't care. They're still all enjoyable. And I think maybe that's why I can get through all of them is because those don't so much matter what order you watch them in. They're not like a one story broken out into chapters.
Yeah.
And, you know, each one of the Mission Impossible movies, I think is a great movie on its own. The one directed by McGee is my favorite.
That's, which one is that one? I forget that one.
It was 2 or 3. It was the one with the U2.
John Woo did 3, I believe. Or was that 2? Now I don't know. That was the one with the sunglasses at the beginning, the mountain climbing. It's, but they are, though each of those movies is a standalone. I mean, like you said, you don't need to have seen anything else to see those.
Yeah.
And that's what makes them great. Van Gool saying in the chat, John Woo did too.
Okay.
So, yeah. McGee must have done two, three. Yeah. Jonah Fish saying in the chat, for me, it's up to the franchise. Mm-hmm. For Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire, rewatched all of the Ghostbusters before. I did the same with Mission Impossible and Indiana Jones. There's another one, Indiana Jones. Mm-hmm. That is one I can't watch the whole thing. They're all standalone movies. You don't need to have seen any other one, especially if you've already seen the whole franchise. You know, like Sean Connery, why he's there. You don't need to have seen the earlier ones, right? Yeah. Or whatever the story is, but that's one to me that they just, I don't have that attachment like I do to Star Wars.
Yeah. I'll watch the Ghostbusters, first two.
I never could do that all the way through. I like the first one. I like the last one. I haven't seen the most recent one.
You haven't seen after? The one that's out in theaters now. That's out
the one that's out. I haven't seen that one yet
either.
Yeah.
I thought Afterlife was fantastic.
So did I
love the first Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
I own the second one.
Yeah, me too.
And the reboot as well. I own that one with the female cast. It was fine. It's a movie. It's a good movie. It's not something that I put in that flow.
Right.
You gotta watch Ghostbusters 1, 2, the reboot. I don't put it in there, but I enjoyed watching it. I own it. I like it.
Yeah. Jonah Fish is saying McGee didn't direct a Mission Impossible.
He didn't.
De Palma did one. John Woo did two. J.J. Abrams did three.
Yeah.
Brad Bird did four, and that here, let me pull this up. There we go.
Yeah.
And this is Jonah Fish again. And Christopher McQuarrie has done the rest. So maybe we were just mixing that up with like Woo or something like that.
I must have been. Yeah.
Abrams was really good, but, I like Abrams.
So now I need to just look at it quick because, it must be the John Woo one that's my favorite.
Yeah, I like one. I like that a lot. Mm-hmm. I do like the John Woo one too. I love that opening to that and that the music to that with, who was it? Linkin Park? Who was it that opened that? That did the Mission Impossible song, like in their song. I think it was Linkin Park. And that's a
damn, damn. In which one?
Yeah. And, I think was that in Woo's or maybe in Abrams?
It wouldn't have been John Woo's. I've got him up on Kaleidoscape here quick. The John Woo was number two and that was before Linkin Park, wasn't it?
No, Linkin Park has been around for a while.
Oh yeah. This was 2000.
Yeah.
No, that one I think might be the one that U2 did it.
Limp Bizkit. There you go. Thank you, Van Gool. It was, Link. I knew it was an L, but Limp Bizkit. Yes.
Wow.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that was, I love that song. I watched two last year. I talked about it on the show. I drove around listening to that song. It's a great workout song too.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's like, especially like if you like climbing, it's a great song for that too. But if you're running or cycling and you're like, oh my God, you just start hitting it.
I need to revisit all my Mission Impossible trivia. Wow.
I know.
Like we watched all the movies last summer, but I guess I didn't pay that close of attention. Well, again, differentiating one from two from three.
Yeah.
That's not the series that's going to do it. But
it's
man,
hard. Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of,
it's like the one where he did the crazy stunt. Oh yeah. but to your original point, there's very few that you can sit down. And I'd say for me, it's Star Wars. I will do it again. And I know, and obviously Lord of the Rings, but Lord of the Rings, other than the movies being long, it's three movies and that's a little bit easier to do. This, Hunger Games franchise now, it's up to five or whatever, four or five. And I'm like, that's really hard to do.
Right.
Especially like with our theaters, we like the experience of it. Mm-hmm. Of the being in the theater, of the theater, of like all the stuff. And if you stick with one franchise the whole time, you're like, I need something new.
Yeah.
I want something to go boom.
Yep.
Yeah. Or something to go boom in a different way.
Yeah.
So
I was also going to mention franchise. We can still come back on franchises if people are. James Bond is really too much to watch. Like, I'll watch all the Daniel Craigs.
Yes, that I couldn't do.
Really?
And I love Daniel Craigs. And I mean, I love them all, but that's another one. Just like the Marvel, like MCU, you can't do that. Yeah. You can't do it from beginning to end. When they came out, when Marvel came out in 4K, all the Avengers, I did those in a day. I watched every single one in a row. That's, you know, Avengers, Age of Ultron. And then you got, it's four of them. And then, whatchamacallit and Endgame.
Infinity War.
Infinity War and Endgame. So I did all of those in a day, started at like 6 or 7 in the morning. And it's like, you get by the end of the, even that by the end of the day, you're like, wow, it's, but what was fun about, I don't think I'll ever do that again. But what was nice is with that flow, you really did get to see it actually made, Age of Ultron better. Cause you're like, oh yeah. Cause you see stuff like right after it, you're like, there's pieces that you go right into the next one and you're like, oh, wait a minute. This makes sense.
Yeah. Nice.
You know, where Age of Ultron was my least favorite going through. It probably still is. I mean, the other three are really good, but, but Bond, there's just too many, but
there are. Yeah.
MCU, I like to jump around and I'll watch like whenever I get, I've done the Iron Man trilogy.
I like all three of those.
Yeah. I've done that. Like you go, what? Cause I just love Robert Downey Jr.'s Tony Stark. And then by the end of three, you're like, damn, he's not doing it anymore. You know, it's like as an individual.
Yeah.
I've done the same thing with the Thors, the Captain Americas, the early ones. So it's, I mean, you do it that way.
Yeah. I haven't done any of those. I'm trying to remember the last time I attempted to go chronologically through the Bond series. I think I made it to the Duran Duran Bond, which was Roger Moore.
Roger Moore, yeah.
Due to a Kill.
Yep.
Which I'm a huge Duran Duran fan, so I had to make it at least that far. But then I just started picking and choosing which ones I wanted to watch and called it done.
I know, cause you get, I don't know, they get stale. Is that a way to put it? Cause like I said, it's like we have these setups and it's like, it has so much to offer and to stick with one franchise for all your viewing, it's hard.
I don't know that the James Bond series gets stale for me so much as it's disjointed because there are different Bonds. And there was definitely a time frame there where they weren't as good. They just they weren't Dr. No and, you know, From Russia with Love and Goldeneye. And then like there's that level of Bond and then there's the lull towards the middle. But then, you know, the Daniel Craig Bonds are the best that's ever been, in my opinion. I think he's better than Connery.
Even better than Timothy Dalton.
Or, George,
the
guy who had one.
Yeah. I like the Pierce Brosnan ones.
Yeah, they're all right.
I was a huge fan of Pierce Brosnan from Remington Steele. Mm-hmm. And ironically, that's why he couldn't be Bond. And that's why they had a placeholder with Timothy Dalton until he could get out of Remington Steele. And it's funny because I didn't know that at the time when I was a kid. We didn't have this fancy thing called like the internet to get this information.
Yep.
And I was like, oh man, me and my dad liked Remington Steele. And I was like, oh, he'd make a great James Bond. Cause that's what Remington Steele was, right?
Yep.
And, I was like, oh, well, maybe he doesn't want to do it because of kind of like, what was it? who I think was it Henry Winkler was supposed to be in Grease or something like that and play John Travolta's part or something. Yeah. And he didn't want to do it because it was too on the nose to what he was already Fonzie, doing.
Yeah.
I think it was either him or maybe Travolta got asked to do something that was already like, the Sweat Hogs or whatever. So he didn't want, whatever it was, but
yeah.
People and what they don't want to get typecast. So I was just guessing at that when I was a kid, even back then. And then when he got out of Remington Steel and you're like, he's the next James Bond, you know, but yeah. I've been through his Daniel Craig's. I haven't been through anybody else's, even Connery's. I haven't gone through those. So
Connery was pretty good.
Yeah, he was.
He was pretty good. So, like before Daniel Craig took that role, I would have never assumed I would like anyone as James Bond better than Sean Connery, better than the original, better than, you know, he was the embodiment of.
Well, don't you feel like he wasn't acting? Like Connery was just that cool in real life.
Yeah, but you know, Daniel Craig kind of has like, that too.
I'll do that. Yeah, but we don't know his life as much, right? And I mean, he's not as old as, you know, Sean Connery. We've seen his full life and it's like, when you see him in everything else, it's just like, even in the Untouchables, right? When he was in the Untouchables, you're like, that's James Bond. Yeah. It's like, he was just so cool and calm. And it was like, when you do this, you do that. Yeah. And it's like, but it was like, didn't give a crap. Just to, like, that's the personality of like, business, no crap. And he, just too cool. Like, doesn't care what you think. Yeah. It's like, that's James Bond.
Yeah.
Like, and it was like, that's Sean Connery. So,
except that there is the one downfall now that whenever I watch a Connery Bond film, I'm waiting for him to look into the camera and say, Womack. Because that was his other best character was from The Rock.
Oh, yeah.
FBI director Womack. He knows it's him. It's fantastic. Yeah. George Lazenby. Thank you. I saw there was a really good. Am I frozen? Are you frozen? My timer's still going. Y'all listening to me or am I frozen? Is this my show now? DJ Froze. I noticed this is my show now. What do you guys want to talk about? I have a new podcast. It's called Brightside Home Theater.
Oh, there you are. There you are.
So you froze. I was taking over. I just changed the format.
Oh. I put Jonah Fish's comment up and everything went boop. So I don't know what happened there. Yeah. That was pretty funny.
There was, I think on Hulu, there was a documentary about George Lazenby. It was really, really interesting about his whole backstory and how he wound up in that role and how he wound up no longer in that role and what he'd done since then. It was pretty interesting.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. That's a good question.
Yeah.
That's funny. You're too funny. So what else you got?
Well, you know, I saw your new seats.
I got a story about that. That's so funny.
My old theater, I actually had a row of seats out of a commercial cinema in the back row as my overflow seating. And the one thing that gets overlooked when is, oh, they're just kind of, you know, they're seats from a theater. Those are never that comfortable. You know, they took those out to put the comfortable ones in.
Mm.
Once you mount those on a flat surface instead of a slope, they're not too bad at all. And the ones from the photos that I saw, yours are going to be much more comfortable than mine. But I remember, we put those in and I almost would like volunteer to sit in the back when we had people come over because they had the cup holder, but also they were really comfortable.
Yeah. These things, I sat in them. I didn't even sit in them in the theater when they were still bolted.
Yeah.
I mean, we were just all business. We got I got all my tools. We're like ready to go. And you're like, how are we getting in and out of here? I was recording that night with John and Mike, and I'm like, all right, I got a million things going on. I'm like, I never even sat in them, right? So they're up in my attic, and I was showing somebody, and I sat down. I think it was Nelson and Dan when they were over, and I sat down in them, and I was like, now they're not bolted, so you gotta be easy.
You gotta be careful. Like,
you can actually lean back in them. It's when you go to get up, they'll pitch forward. Yeah. So you gotta, they were so comfortable. Yeah. I was like, are you kidding me? Cause they were wide enough. They had, you know, they're cushy. They have the cup holders on both sides. I'm like,
man.
And that was like the first time I sat in them, and I was like, I could be in these for years.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, now it's going to be harder to pick luxury seats because they're going to have to meet the comfort level, but also be luxury. Right. Yep. And it's like, we know some horror stories of that, but these were really nice. They're low back. I mean, they nail everything for the home theater experience. They're just not luxury.
Yep.
You know,
the seats that I had, they were out of the Merle Hay Cinema at the Merle Hay Mall in Des Moines, and they had literally just put them in. They were probably 4 or 5 months old.
Oh, wow.
And this theater was, they were trying to make some updates to, you know, drive some more business away from the multiplexes, and they just didn't, they weren't able to do it. So they closed down and they had all these seats. So, and I had sat in them numerous times to go see movies there because they had the biggest screen in town at the time. And so I knew they were going to be in good shape. They were going to be comfortable. They were relatively new. So I went and got them, and then I bolted them onto a flat surface. It's like, wow. That is like, you get a little bit more natural recline to them.
Right. Cause they're supposed to be pitched.
I think you're going to be really, really happy with those for a while because they do look really, they're much nicer, much fancier than the ones that I had, and they were comfortable. So
they do have some like popcorn and candy and crap in them. You got to really take them apart and clean them right.
Yeah.
I mean, the seats themselves look really nice. They're clean. I have a couple that might have a poke in them, but I got 15 of them.
Right.
And they only charged me for 12. And I'm like, I was actually debating now that I'm like, maybe because they are wide enough, but I was thinking, or they are slender enough that I could put five in a row in my theater. And I'm like, but I still want to do the four. So I get used to being that little bit off center and either side. Plus I'm kind of liking that idea for the future, but I don't know. I love the low back too. And I'm not one, even mine now recline. They're not power, but I hardly ever, if I recline, it's because I go down and I'm exhausted and I just want to fall asleep watching a movie. And it's so funny. My wife will come, I'll come up and I'll literally put on Star Wars, right? And just, all right, let's watch this. And I don't mind just like, and I'll fall asleep. I'll wake up and it's the end of it. But it's been on reference level the whole time. And I come upstairs and she goes, how do you nap? She knows I do because she'll come down and check on me or something. And I'm like, it's like booming. And I'm just like, I'm exhausted. That's the only time I recline. Only time in my theater. So, but I don't have tiltable headrests. Mm-hmm. So in someday, when I do pick my luxury theater seats, I got lumbar because I need it.
Yeah.
And then two, because it'll give you, maybe I could do all three Lord of the Rings with lumbar support and a proper headrest in a row. I mean,
I couldn't do that in an Ames lounger. Sorry.
Well, no, that would put you to sleep. But yes, if I could get a headrest, I might actually sit back a little bit. You know, and do that. But these things, I mean, I'm young enough. Yeah. I don't need to be reclining because I sit like even at the movie theater, everybody I go with, they all sit back because we have luxury seats in the showcase that we go to. And I always sit my knees are like right up against the edge. I sit straight up because I want my head up. I'm like full attention.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so yeah, I'm really enjoying that. And I mean, at $30 a seat, you can't go wrong.
I'd need a chamber pot to do all three Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, exactly. As Carl, oh, not 50 pushups. There we go.
Carl, with his
pushups, he thinks like, if I'm sleeping in my theater and it's on reference level, buddy, I've done way more than 50 pushups by that point. Come on.
We just have, you know, like a sectional couch. We wanted something a little more cozy, and my back has been telling me that we need seats.
You need proper seats. Couches won't do it. Couches. Yeah,
I find myself like this. Not
exactly.
No.
That's why you need the armrests. You need good support in three directions.
Yeah.
Or really, because you need it behind your knees too. So
if
it's too slouchy, if it's too, it's not good. And that was one of the things I was going to have to do. I was like, I'll just throw an old couch in there if I can get the gear going. But now with this, I'm like super motivated to get in there. I don't care about the gear, about the end game gear,
right?
There was a point where I was like, well, I know I'm not going to have this and I needed too much. So I might as well wait. But now I'm like, no, let's do the transition I planned and then we'll work up to the end game gear, which again, like we were saying, before, I think it was before we started recording or we went live, it was like, it's allowing me to do things right because, you know, like I said, I'm like, I gotta go slow. I don't have the money to do certain things. So when I get a certain amount of money, okay, now I can do this part and I'll do it right.
Yep.
You know, whereas, but if I did have my budget intact, I would want to get it all done because I had the budget and I don't want to lose it to something stupid.
Yeah.
So it's a win-win in that situation, but it's, you know, it's, I'm going to make the best of it regardless. And I really am having so much fun. That's stressful as hell, but it's so much fun.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm glad you like my seats.
Fantastic. Yeah. I'm excited for, I was excited for you when I saw those photos. I'm like, those are going to be awesome. He's going to love those. Those are, and I know exactly, you know, what your process is here with, do I get cheap seats to put seats in there or do I blow my budget on nice seats and then still, you know, not be able to go with the gear next? And that's the process that so many of us go through. It's like having to get a new washer and dryer. It's an expense. That is absolutely like a necessary thing.
Yeah.
But it's not fun money. It's like, you lay out this huge expense and you're like,
to be honest with you though, whenever we've done an upgrade, it's like, even we had our washing machine crap out on us. I don't know how many years ago, maybe 5, 7, 8 years ago, something like that. Right. And it was like, you have no choice. You're right. It's not fun. Nobody goes, you know, I think I want to upgrade my washing machine today. Yeah. Why? Is it broken? No, I just want to see what new water can do. Yeah. I don't know. But when it craps out, all right, let's go. Let's have some fun with it. And let's get, like, we had always had side by sides because the way this house was built, it gave us this little closet area for the side by sides. Right. So I was like, well, let's go shop. And we looked and we went and I do my hockey jerseys for my team at the, and I'm like, let's get this oversized stackable, blah, blah, blah. Oh, I was psyched. I couldn't wait to get it home. Like my son was big enough, old enough at the time. I'm like, let's go. Yeah. Let's take the truck. We're going to throw him in there and get him home. I'd never stacked a stackable before. I stacked the thing up, get it running. Couldn't wait to throw in. I mean, I was excited about a new washing machine set, right? My wife and I and my son are down here in the theater watching a movie while the first load is running. And all of a sudden I'm like, wow, there's a lot of bass in this movie. Nope. I forgot. I didn't know that like on the back of the drum, you got to take these things off.
The bolts, the transport bolts.
Yep. The transport bolts. The whole thing is fighting. The house was like shaking. I was like, oh my God. I was like, my wife's like, do you think you broke it? I'm like, no, I can't be the first idiot to have done this. But on a stackable, the whole thing's going crazy. So dude, yeah, I had a Google, like, what could this possibly be? Yeah. And it's like, so many people, transport bolts, you idiot. Oh, yeah. Yes, idiot. That's me. So yeah, I get excited about any kind of tech.
It's funny. I brought up washer and dryer because this last weekend I was down here cursing because, you know, we bought this house. It had the stackable washer and dryer in it. It's in like the little closet right here. It's great. I put some soundproofing and stuff in there on the side walls when we first moved in, and it's fine. But I needed to clean out underneath the drain underneath. Everything was starting to come out, yeah, smelling musty still after you wash it. And I was like, oh, I need to clean it out. There's no way to get to it from the front.
No.
There's no way to get these washer and dryer out of here. Like, I'm sitting here thinking, how did these get in here? Because they're stacked, they're attached at the back. And yeah, so I basically, you know, I went to U-Haul and rented an appliance dolly, but there's not enough clearance with the door.
See, I put mine in a little tub to
bring them out.
Yeah. And oh, they don't fit under the door?
No. Well, they do, but only when they're flat. As soon as you tip them back on a dolly.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hitting the top of the door.
See, I put a tub. Like, it's like 2 inches tall.
Yeah.
In case it leaks, it doesn't go everywhere. So I put it on that. But now that makes it, I can just grab that and slide that. It's strong enough that I can actually slide it on the floor.
See, I so went that on.
Gives me a little bit of an ability there.
I went on Amazon and found these, they're basically like wheels that you can put. They're just two tracks with a front and a back wheel. You size it so it's right under the foot.
Yeah.
They'll hold up to 800 pounds, but I couldn't even tip them enough to get those under the feet.
Yeah.
So I literally was down here screaming and cursing and yelling at everybody that in the neighborhood, talking about how stupid the builder was, how much stupider the woman was
who
bought the house from that bought a washer without a clean out on the front.
Yeah.
So you have to take the back off to clean that drain. So yeah, ended up basically just scratching up the floor a little bit. And it's concrete floor, but it's like that not real concrete stuff. But pulled them out a little bit enough that I could tip them back and we could get a rug under the front feet to protect the floors. Yeah. Finally got them out far enough to get the wheels under them. That I could wheel it out into my son's room and get behind it to pull the drain. Oh, what a mess. Dumbest thing ever. It'll be easy now, though. Now that I have wheels.
See, all that stuff I'm going through with the theater, I'm going through with anything in the house.
The kitchen,
I just put in a wood stove and I'm like, and my buddy's like, you got to build the wall. He recommended building the wall around the stove. The thing's huge. It's like 48 inches wide. I think it's like 50 something inches tall. It's 2 feet wide and it weighs like 700 pounds.
Yeah.
Right. So now and I also in designing my theater, I'm like, all right, my theater, I need. I wanted, as everybody knows, I got a false wall in the back and the door is centered on that. But when you walk in, I wanted that little tunnel area. So I could have put the door on the outside and then you just would have walked into the false wall area and had screen on either side, but you still can't utilize that area.
Right.
So I didn't want to do that, but I wanted double doors, but that's too big. And if you got that little hallway area, that's just not as, you don't want to take away from the space in the back of the room for speakers and stuff like that. So I ended up going with like a 30-inch door. And as I'm framing it, I'm like, okay, I'm happy with the space I have here. But all of a sudden I'm like, oh crap, I got to get furniture in here. I got to bring it in. I got a 48-inch wide hall to get to it. I got to make a turn. I'm like, oh, but I got a wall and I got a exposed wall on the other side. I'm like, I'm literally going to build in a safety hatch that if I'll have to unbolt it, it'll be a pain in the ass to do, but I could do it if I need to get furniture in and out in any other way. You know, you just pull the wall and I'm going to do the same thing for the stove. There'll be one wall that it's like you take these big lag bolts out and the whole wall comes off. You can get behind the stove because who knows? 15 years down the road, it's like the stove craps out. I'm like, I built around it. You don't want to screw yourself. So
yep.
Yeah, you got to think of these things. And yeah. Builders don't. They do not care. They just build and they're like, there you go.
Yep. Like, my house in Iowa had an outdoor kitchen area, and basically the grill was crap and I needed to swap it out, but it was done in such an odd shape, size, dimensions that, and it was just, I had to destroy the whole entire outdoor kitchen just to replace the main part of the outdoor kitchen.
Yeah. And it's like, nope, you gotta think ahead. So,
yeah.
What's your latest addition to your theater or latest review you've done?
I haven't been doing a whole lot of review stuff lately. I have a Bluetooth speaker set here that I'm going to be reviewing, more of a summer outdoor thing. But I've been spending most of my theater goof around time with the remote, the unfolded circle remote 2.
Oh,
this along with a $99 home assistant box.
Yeah.
Is the future.
Really?
The remote I think was $500. They're hard to come by right now. It was a Kickstarter that closed on the day that we were closing on this house. And so I didn't do that because I didn't want it to go on my credit card and screw up the whole house purchase. So I put my name on the list that day, like 2.5 years ago now, got it in December finally. And they're still behind, not behind, but there's still a waiting list. You can go on their website and get added to it without putting any deposit down. But
what is it called again?
It's Unfolded Circle.
I've never heard of it.
Unfolded it was the Circle. YIO, the YIO, the YIO Remote 2. And during the whole process. Unfolded
Circle Remote 2.
Yes. During the Kickstarter process, they changed the company name from YIO, which is just impossible to say, to Unfolded Circle. So
it looks beautiful.
It's the hardware is fantastic. I've heard reports that the screen is relatively fragile, but it's user replaceable too.
Oh, okay.
And I haven't had any issues. It's really, really nice hardware. But the software is still very much, unfinished, but I have it completely controlling everything with the help of a little $99 home assistant automation box. So the main integrations the remote has is one for home assistant and then Apple TV.
Okay.
So I've got everything loaded into home assistant and this is just kind of the front end for it, but it's really, really nice. It took me a little while for the software and the configuration stuff to click. But once I kind of figured out the right path to take, basically I just wiped Home Assistant and I wiped the remote to factory settings and started over and had it all up and running in an afternoon. Is
it fun to tinker with? Is it easy to tinker with? Like, which we all love to do.
The one thing about Harmony, it's all web based. So if you want to update something, it's pinging their servers and then coming back down to the hub and doing it that way. This is everything lives in the remote or the dock. Okay. Bodhi wants to say hi. So everything lives in the remote or the dock and you just open up a web browser to configure it off.
Okay. That's what it says here. It says no mobile apps, local configuration from your web browser. You can create and edit profiles, manage your areas, upload custom images and channel logos, create activities, add integrations, learn infrared codes and much more. So now it says no mobile apps. Like can you turn on your theater without it, I like to do that upstairs with my phone.
Yeah.
And I'll get it started and then I come down and use my Harmony.
That was something that was a bit of a drawback at first, but then I realized that since my entire theater is pretty much being controlled actually by Home Assistant, I just open up the Home Assistant app and run that activity there.
Okay.
And then I come down and the remote's ready to go and everything's powered on. So yeah, that was one, the one thing I'm going, they don't have an app. So how am I supposed to turn everything on before I go downstairs? But through Home Assistant.
Right. Right.
So like the cool thing is, you know, there's a Kaleidoscape Home Assistant integration.
Okay.
That's reading all of those things that, you know, all of those things that were like, oh, wouldn't it be cool to have a control for and it would,
Ruby
talk to the Kaleidoscape and get all of the cues and stuff. The Home Assistant integration gets all of that. So now when the end credits start, my lights come up to a dim level and then when they end, they come up higher. So it's reading all the exact same triggers, but it's on $100 Home Assistant.
To work on Travis and you're just giving me this information. I want to go play with this damn thing. I don't even have one.
You know what? Here's the other thing that's awesome. As I was building this, the Lumigen was the one thing that it wouldn't learn the codes. There was no integration. That one took me a while.
Yeah, it's a trick.
It's the codes are old enough, but they worked in the Harmony. So right. I was still using my Harmony.
Yeah.
But because so much of what my automation was happening in Home Assistant, I had the same exact integration with all, you know, the Harmony, because the lights coming up from Kaleidoscape had nothing to do with the Harmony or this remote. It's all the Home Assistant box. You could get that right now and start playing with it and configuring it in your theater and then just reconfigure it for the new house and then just get whatever remote you want. I could pick up, you know, the Kaleidoscape remote and the JVC remote and turn everything on manually and it would still feed the Home Assistant information to automate all the lights.
I got too much to do. I hate when you and I talk and I get in trouble.
It doesn't, it,
we
you know,
go for hours.
It doesn't take long.
Oh God.
This is because all I did once I,
you once say it doesn't take long, but then you start to get creative and you're like, watch what I did. And that's what I'm saying, Travis, like you and I, like I'll find something that you didn't know was there and we'll be and like, we had, what was it? Like a month after CD or something. You and I had like an 8 hour text.
You know,
so stupid.
But here's the thing.
Funny. But we just
one and I can get you to this point now, and you can skip all of the banging your head against your desk and the wall and the floor and and the street out front, because all you do, you go into Home Assistant and you set your lights the way you create 3, 4, 5 scenes. And then you just go in and figure out, okay, what scene do I want to trigger when the Kaleidoscape hits the end credits? Okay. Automation done. Okay. What scene do I want to trigger when the projector powers on? The welcome scene. Okay. Great. What about when the media player being Kaleidoscape or Apple TV is paused? Oh, that's the intermission lighting scheme. And you just,
set the schemes and then you just integrate, you just had, cause I do the same thing in mine. Like it, so with the Harmony, I have like, if you turn on the PlayStation, all the lights come on blue.
Right.
If it was Xbox, they come on green. If it's Kaleidoscape, they're yellow around the room, but the LEDs in the back are blue.
Okay. Right.
Apple TV is just like a lower, muted setting, you know, warm setting. So anytime you hit a button, you'll know what you're in. But like, I think on Apple TV, I have it, like if I turn the volume all the way up or something like that, it's like
off.
There's something weird. Like I found a macro I could do and it's like all the light, I turn the volume up and all the lights go off. And it hits play and I can't, and now I don't have the time to take it out, but it's like, I go to hit the volume and I'm like, what the heck? It's like screwing with everything. But, oh my God.
See,
here's the thing. I hardly ever watch my Kaleidoscape anymore. Cause I don't sit, like I watch Dune, not that I don't like, I don't have time to sit down and watch a whole movie. I watched Dune 2.
Yeah.
And, but it's like, I did watch a movie today, but I couldn't do it in one sitting. I didn't have to, I get calls. I'm like, I got to do this.
Yeah.
I get, you know, I just don't have time, but I'm still buying movies like crazy. I'm like, oh, I'm going to watch this one. I'm going to watch this one. And yeah. Like someday.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, I'm going to years from now, you'll be like, DJ, did you ever see that one? No, I think that was my downtime.
Yeah.
That was during my this, you know, whatever. And it's like,
yeah,
but yeah, they'll be there when I get there.
Yep. Yep. No, I totally get all that. It was wild to me once I hit that moment. It took me, you know, 3 or 4 hours and I had the entire remote working, controlling everything. All of the automation was working exactly how I wanted it to.
Yeah.
And it was just so, so slick and so easy. And you know, the Apple TV, it doesn't have the end credits stuff like the Kaleidoscape does, but it'll still tell your lighting. It'll still tell Home Assistant, oh, it's paused. Oh, it's playing.
Right.
You know, and
oh, that's cool.
And the other thing, when something's playing, you get the artwork on here and everything, just like you do with the Control 4 and all the expensive ones. So
interesting.
Yeah.
So Greg in the chat is saying either DIY or hire an integration professional. I am lazy and prefer the latter, especially with firmware and driver updates. And yeah, it's basically, it's two different people. And yep. It's, there are times when one of the things that was hard about Harmony dropping their remote was that we needed an integrator for people like us. That was like, if you wanted to get anywhere close to what the Harmony had, you had to have an integrator. And we hated that stuff because the part of home theater for me is the DIY part, right? And it's like, and I get it. I mean, I've talked to it. Steve George, he's the exact opposite. He does not want to do that. And I get that part. And it's, I mean, and it has nothing to do with being capable or incapable. It's just something that they didn't want to do. So, but I actually enjoy that part of it. So it's like, when you take it away from me and force me, and that's what I liked about talking with Eddie Troches and saying like Control 4 is like, all I have to do is connect the piece. Yeah. You can play with it all you want and you can, but you just, and that's what it, so for somebody, what Greg said here, it's like, especially with firmware and driver updates, what I liked what Eddie was saying about Control 4 is I get the option to do all the DIYing I want to do, but with the Control 4, because you have an integrator, it is bulletproof because you can't break it, which we know we do. It's like all of a sudden, like my remote, I can't use the volume up button because everything will shut down or turn the lights bright or whatever, right? Because I don't have time to fix that. Whereas if I screw up a Control 4, it's just like you call up your integrator and you'd be like, hey, Eddie, what'd I do? And you'd be like, done. You're all set. Yeah. I just reset it to the last setting. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Or you can do that. Right.
Yeah.
So that's this one here. Do you feel like that's Control 4 or is this closer to like you could actually screw something up and it's more like Harmony?
I think it's a little bit of both.
Okay.
I think you can definitely screw something up. I can screw
give
anything.
Give me a shot. I'll screw anything.
I'll screw up a Control 4. But no, I think there are easy ways to back up so that you can have those, you know, those spawn points or those restore points or whatever you want to call them and just go back to it. But like my big thing with like, I'm okay with paying a premium for a good product if it's bulletproof and I'm okay with paying an integrator to come out and set up a Control 4 system, you know, so that it works and does everything that it could do and should do and I want it to do. What I've never liked, and granted, I could probably get away with it now, but what I've never liked is the idea of having to call an integrator because I decided, you know,
to upgrade
it's Saturday afternoon and I'm out at Best Buy and decide to buy a new Blu-ray player and now I need to call someone. No, I know how to plug in an HDMI cable. Like, I don't want to have to do that.
Right. Yeah.
It's like hiring someone, a professional who's an expert in programming this and setting it up. Yes, absolutely.
Right.
But a year from now, like I want to change out my components as much as I used to when I first started looking at it, but it's still, I just don't like that idea of having to call someone because I bought a new DVD player.
A new DVD player, or you upgraded your receiver or pre-pro or, and you do that something that, and that's where you get into like the DIY part of it. It's like, I as much look forward to, like you said, that impulse buy and getting home and just tearing the back of the rack apart and putting everything back together and getting it all running right. And then when it doesn't, you go, okay, what did I do wrong?
Yeah.
But I agree with you is that's like, I mean, because we mess with too much stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, but I do think that it's a phone call now. I think we can actually connect everything. And as long as it's, so you call your integrator and be like, okay, HDMI is connected because it's all networked. So you're in the network. They go on and they go, wow, bang. Okay. Here you go. And I just, and I did this. So I'm sure it's not like that impulse buy is tough because it's not like that same moment they're going to do that for you, but
But like last night we watched The Sting on Kaleidoscape, and after the movie ended, the lights came on and it woke Rebecca up because she sleeps through most movies. And she was like, God, that's so bright. And I'm like, oh, how's that?
There you go.
and now whenever, you know, the movie ends, it will still come up, but it'll come up slower.
Yeah.
And it won't be quite so bright either. I just adjusted levels and it's like, boom, didn't have to call anyone or write any code and things like that. Like I just altered the scene and now it, you know, because it's done in the scene in Home Assistant, doesn't matter what device we're watching. If the Apple TV, if we're watching, you know, Shogun and the episode's over, the lighting is going to come to that new setting because that's the end of movie setting.
Now, how is this for whole home stuff? Okay, or is this more of like a theater room situation?
It's for anything. I have it set so that when we hit play on a movie, part of our play scene is if it's after sunset, there are probably going to be lights on upstairs. And when we come downstairs to watch a movie, if it's after sunset, it turns like all but one of those lights off so that if someone goes upstairs, they can still see their way around. Yeah. If it's during the day, ignores everything because there's probably not any lights on anyway. If it's, when we hit play, it automatically adjusts the Nest thermostats upstairs and upstairs in the bedroom. It doesn't worry so much about heating or cooling on the other rooms because we're down here. So yeah, you can do everything with this. You could activate alarms, you know, motion sensors out in your yard. If you're worried about that when you're down and you can't hear someone outside, if it's that situation, you can do all kinds of stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That sounds great. And so when you're in the other rooms, can you still use this to like control the lighting in those rooms? Do you need a separate remote? Do you have multiple remotes?
You don't use this remote for the whole house. You could, if you want to carry it around with you. There are people who have it that they keep it in their living room and then they'll carry it down to the theater or whatever when it's time to go down there. But this is the remote function. The rest of the house, I'm using automations that I don't have to do anything with, or using the Home Assistant app.
Okay. All right.
You can access everything in there. I can go in there and turn on the movie intermission lighting from the bed upstairs if we wanted to.
Oh, wow.
If we had house guests and they were staying in the room down here and then, you know, when everyone went to bed after I run the good night scene on the whole house, I could go in and turn back on the intermission lighting in the theater so that if they have to get up and use the restroom in the middle of the night, there's some lighting for them for them. So. Oh,
wow. Sounds like you have that, the whole house is integrated. It's, you know, in your control. I mean,
$100 for the Home Assistant box.
For the home assistant, how much is the remote tube
I think the remote, which comes with the dock as well, the dock charges it and is an IR blaster. The remote, yeah. I think, was around $500.
All right.
So not a cheap one, definitely more expensive than the Harmony, but the quality of the materials is a lot better and just.
Yeah, it's saying here, it's not even an American. Whatever I
No, they're out of the somewhere like Denmark or Switzerland or something. They're all over in that area. It's, you know, it's guys that are doing this part time. They have, I think most of them have regular day jobs. They just had this project and put it on Kickstarter, but it's fantastic hardware and the software is, like I said, it's still a work in progress, but it's coming along. By the time anyone putting their name on the list now gets their hands on one, it'll be in pretty decent shape.
Yeah.
But really,
I just put my name in.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
I mean, it doesn't cost anything to put your name on the list. You can decide against it when it comes up. But you know, get the home assistant now and start playing with that, because that's really the brains of the whole thing. And then once you have all your automation stuff figured out, and you know, it'll actually be a good time for you to do this, because you can do all these automations in the home assistant for this house, learn it, figure it out. Yeah. And then when you move into the new place, you just wipe it clean and start over and make, you know, this would be like your practice run.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah. For $100, you can't. It's another one now on my list, like the Lumigen, where I'm like, I should have gotten that years ago. Like, of all the things, like, because I didn't even consider the home assistant until I knew I was going to get one of these.
I think you and I talked before you got the Kaleidoscape, and I said that to you because that's what Jim had told me. I wanted to get a Kaleidoscape, and he was like, don't. He goes, get your Lumigen first. And he goes, because that Kaleidoscape is awesome.
Yeah.
But it's that one piece. All it is for watching movies.
Right.
A video processor affects your entire system.
Yeah.
So it elevates every piece, your Apple TV, your Blu-ray player, your Kaleidoscape, anything you watch, it's going to elevate all of that.
Yeah.
So he recommended I do that first. And I was like, all right. So I did. And to this day, when somebody asks me, which would you get rid of first? And it would be the Kaleidoscape. I want to keep both, but if I had to only pick one, it would be a video processor because how much that elevates it. And do you see what I mean now? Like now that you have it and you're like, oh my God, cause it's not so much what it does for 4K and HDR. Although for you, it was with your projector. Remember you used to have to turn on the UHD. So you don't have that issue anymore.
Yep.
But watching stuff, but that's because you had a Kaleidoscape. If you still had a Panasonic Blu-ray player, that was already doing, it was stepping it down for your projector. So you were able to get all that.
Yeah.
You do, now you get it full bore and you get it great, but it was how much it improved and streamlined your entire system. And I was just like, I mean, Kaleidoscape's the only piece though that I've ever had. And I say this all the time, like it is at, like you said earlier, quality product that's rock solid.
Mm-hmm.
Never had an issue with it.
Yep.
Knock on wood. I've had mine almost. Well, over 2 years.
Yep.
And it's, you know, everything else is like, uh-oh, it's got a bug, it's got this, it's got that, but nope.
Yep.
So.
Yep. Also, awesome. Just a quick note, the link I sent you for the Terminator 2, that was a great download.
Does the baby cry in Atmos?
God, I hope not. Yeah. It's bad enough in mono.
I saw your tweets too later this afternoon, which was the same ones you sent me last night.
Yeah.
It's okay. The name and stuff. Not supposed to share that info. Boy or girl, so she can't. Okay. All right. Whoops. But yeah. Well, people are going to find out a baby is named that anyways. T2, yes. And so, let's have a quick discussion on that. Very quick. You give your side, because I went on my rant yesterday.
Yep.
And now you want to defend the person.
And I'm guessing, no, I'm not defending the person. I was just trying to clarify. I'm guessing the tweet you were referring to was the same one that I initially saw, where he quote tweeted something from the middle of a whole thread that didn't really get into, this is not the official releases. This is a 35 millimeter scan.
Right.
Done by an enthusiast being compared to the official release, as well as several different end user color grades done to this 35 millimeter scan. So,
right.
It was definitely taken in that context. It was confusing and it seemed like there was some sort of new release or whatever. But like the first thing I did was look for the link to download it. So I went to the tweet that he was quote tweeting, top of the thread, and started going through that from start to finish. And it was, I think, pretty obvious at that point. Okay. This is like 4K 77 and those Harmies type projects where someone got a 35 millimeter theatrical release print, scanned it and cleaned it up and released it.
Okay. So that's, and I said that to Steve. I said it to Nelson and Dan. And I was like, there's a possibility he's talking about something else.
Yeah.
But what I didn't like and why I was sensitive to, like, you looked up and you actually researched the actual tweets to see what he was talking about. Yep. I'm hypersensitive to this stuff because I see it all over the place, not just him. Right. And that's the, I like, and all the people that do it, I like their reviews about most of their stuff. But when it comes to 4K like this, we see it all the time that they're like, oh, this 4K release is darker. And we're like, oh God.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, so I went in that direction where the scratches is what kind of alerted me to maybe this isn't exactly what I think it is. But it's still deceiving because it's not clear what we're talking about. And it's also like, if I'm taking it as this is don't buy the 4K, how many other people are, right? Yep. So there's that possibility. And I just, that's what I just don't want. And to my point, which I say to everybody, don't pay attention, like listen to people's opinions, but don't take them as gospel, myself included. Do your own research. Understand where they're coming from. Why is everything dark in 4K? Yeah. Well, and that's what I just want to get that message. Why, if you hear that it's dark, it most likely isn't.
Right.
It's like maybe a scene is, like I said yesterday, there are particular scenes that you're like, ooh, that's so much darker. It's so much nicer. Like the Game of Thrones, you know, the Long Night or what it actually gets darker, but the brights get brighter. So your contrast is greater.
Yep.
And, but it's like, but that's, you would never say like, oh my God, this is so much darker.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, and my whole thing with the T2 and 4K 77, I'm the exact opposite on them. I downloaded the file that was out there. I own the 4K version of T2. On Kaleidoscape. And when it comes right down to it, I really do prefer that original theatrical color grade better than where the new release is, but I'll still watch it on Kaleidoscape because I like the soundtrack on that is better than the original 35 millimeter, 30-year-old scan. Now with 4K 77, whenever I want to watch Star Wars, I go to 4K 77. Every single time. And I own it on Kaleidoscape. I have them on disc. I have the Harmies, the specialized version. I have all of those. 4K 77 is still my go-to.
Yeah. I like the picture. I like the quality. I like the sound. I know 4K 77, it's hard to watch that stuff and you're like, the quality just isn't the same. And especially on our screens, right?
Right.
Now, I know if they, that's where the money is. If they ever produce that in a 4K, we're in, I mean, it's take my money now.
Yeah.
Take my money now.
Yeah. See, I love the fact that there are people out there doing those things. I love the fact that I'm able to have the 35 millimeter T2 scan in my Plex library. I like having the option.
Yeah.
More than any, like there are some of those things that it's like, you just want the original. You just want to, you know, like
it does look nice. And I've watched it. I've like, you sit there and I'll watch and I'll jump right to the kaleidoscape, especially the opening, because there's really no difference other than the scroll, you know, the crawl.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, when you see that crawl and it's like Star Wars and that's it.
Yeah.
That's cool. And I've put that out on Star Wars Day. I'm like, here we go. And that's usually when I watch it that morning.
Yeah.
And it's, but then you jump right to the original or you jump right to the new 4K release and it's like how crystal clear it looks. The black level, the stars, the bright yellow, like light words. It's just like, oh my God. And then R2 and 3PO, how clean they look and the no grain. When they go into the desert scene, when you first see R2 and 3PO in the desert on that, you know, 77. Oh my.
Yeah.
it's like really there's sand on your screen.
Mm-hmm.
It's so grainy.
I find it mind boggling how far how good they can make stuff that's 50 years old look and sound. And I'm in the business. I produce video for a living and it's mind boggling to me how good they can make that look and sound. I feel like there's a line that sometimes is crossed. It's my opinion that the Cameron releases, the new ones have crossed that line that I don't like that so much.
Oh, really?
Star Wars, my biggest complaint, like I don't have any problem with the quality of the 4K official releases, but it's still just that stuff that was added in. Like, I don't like that. And I know that was he wanted to do it back then and couldn't and blah, blah, blah. But I like going back and seeing a very well restored print of that original edit with nothing added. You know, I think the audio off that stuff is off the, you know, taken from the Laserdisc and from the,
yeah.
Yeah. All the different editions. They've done such a great job with those.
Yeah. Steve At saying, I have 5 different versions of A New Hope in my Plex system now. Despecialized 4K 77 original VHS 4K release. No time to flip between all.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, well, it's, technically you only have, I mean, if they're the original, that's not called A New Hope. Called Star Wars. That's why I always say, whenever I say I watched, I'm going to go watch Star Wars. I don't say I'm watching A New Hope. I don't say Part 4 or whatever. I'm like, because that's what it was. It was Star Wars. For 3 years, it was Star. Actually, it was Star Wars, I think, what? Not until, when did he come out with, was it the Laserdiscs? I think when he did when he upgraded them. Was that Laserdisc or DVD? I can't remember.
When he upgraded what? Put the added, the special edition stuff in?
Yeah.
I think that was not on the Laserdiscs.
Well, the original Laserdisc, but then they came out with the box set.
The box set was the highest quality.
I have that.
Untouched, like unmolested or however you want to say it. That was the last version without restored, any new stuff added.
Okay.
They were remastered and improved, but nothing was added or altered.
Right.
Up through that box set of the laser discs. And then after that, they released the video cassettes and DVDs and stuff that had the new content added in.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's why those laser discs are worth so much.
Yeah. Yeah, I have those. So.
Yeah.
Steve in the chat. I have to call it episode 4 because of the youngins who don't know. All right.
You got to get back to your house.
I got to get back to my house. I got work to do, but thanks, Travis. That was awesome. I know it wasn't a takeover Tuesday. It was a live stream, but I love it. You had an idea and it was great. So,
I wanted to know that you can or can't watch the franchises, but I thought it was a good question to ask the audience to and get more input on that.
Yeah. Yeah. It was great. Thank you very much.
You bet.
All right. Everybody, thanks. The chat's going crazy again. Thank you very much, everybody, for watching, listening, participating. I got to get back to work. Travis has got work to do. He's going to go play with his remote. That's not a euphemism.
I got to go back to my day job.
Oh, there you go. Have fun. Yeah. All right. Thanks, everybody. You know what you got to do.
Go push play.
What he said.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.